Blog Talk Radio.
Like that.
Mariposa.
Oh, you're trying to get all cutesy.
I'm trying to do it, Mia Posa. I'm really trying to do it. So I think we're just going to call you Mari. Yes, the
shuttle
name. We gotta keep
I like that. Mari, I like that.
That's good. Mari. That's what we're going to call you. Tonight we have a great show lined up for you guys. We are going to be visited by Miss Kayla Perrin, and she is a black woman. We're not going to say African-American. She's a black woman who is actually a Canadian citizen. She's going to come on and tell us about her best-selling books and things like that, and she's going to give us some insight on who she is and what she does. She's been in the biz for a long time, you guys. It's just that she's not American, I guess, so we're not too familiar with her book. That's going to change tonight. But before we get started, we always do some announcements and some good stuff to let you know what's going on with ANBC and some stuff that Tamika might have, I guess, an insight on if she wants to share with y'all. So, Tamika, go ahead. Let them know what's going on.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to break it on down. So let's go ahead and prepare for some ANBC news. So next week on Tuesday, we're going to be having our open mic session. It's going to be kind of like our inaugural session of it. We haven't had it on the show in a couple seasons, so I'm excited about that. We already have our lineup of the artists that's going to be appearing on open mic, so which is pretty cool. I'm really excited about that because we can pretty much freestyle and do whatever on that form.
Right.
So we don't know what kind of people are going to be coming on. We don't know what they're going to be reading from. And you know me, and you know, like, if they born, I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to let them know that Carla was born. So if you're and you're due to show next week, you better make sure you bring it because I will call you out. If you're born, that means your book is born. And nobody wants to read a book from somebody who has a boring personality. I'm a hoot. You know, I call myself, like the chick on the Jersey Shore. I'm the blast in the grass. So I feel like my book is my book are blasting the blast, you know. So that's going to be next week. So after next week, we're not going to actually have any more Arthur interviews this month. Kayla Perrin is the only Arthur we're going to actually interview this month because on the 20th, we're going to be having our very first panel discussion, which is going to be, like, the first time in a couple seasons as well. And we're going to be talking about literary agency, what's the 411. And we're going to be having Regina Brooks, which is the founder and CEO of Serendipity Literary Agency, going to be coming onto the show. We're going to be interviewing her and talking to her and picking her brain on the ins and outs of literary agencies and all that and how you even get one. So that's going to be really interesting and fun. So all you authors that are interested in getting agents or whatever, you want a big major league publishing deal or whatever, I would definitely recommend you to tune into the show on the 20th. And you can even call in and ask questions and things like that. So, and then, of course, on the 27th, which is the last Tuesday of this month, we're not having a show because it's going to be right after. It's going to be the week after Thanksgiving. We're going to be taking a break and all that. So that's what we're going to be having on ANBC Radio. But I do want everybody to know that if you go to kambookclub.com, we're in the new month of November, so we have all of our new books up. This month, we're on tour, virtual book tours with Caroline McGill, Mashaya. Her book is "He Loves Me, He Loves You Not." I like that. And then, of course, we have Silk White for "Tales of a Hustler" Part 4. So, make sure you go to aambookclub.com and look at all these book profiles, and go ahead and purchase your books. Like, see if these books are interesting to you. I'll go out and purchase them. And, of course, we have our Book of the Month by Monica Mathis Stowe for her book, Where Did We Go Wrong? And I've heard nothing but great things about that book, so make sure that you go and check that out. In other further ANBC news, next month, which is December, we're going to be gearing up for the holiday show specials on the show. We're going to be gearing up for the announcing our Book of the Years. We're going to also be prepping to do the ANBC Literary Awards. We're going to be starting that kind of towards the end of the year, so I'm really excited about that. So without further ado, I think that's pretty much all of the AANBC news. I mean, if something comes up.
No. Lastly, next month, I'll be prepared for Delphine's 12 Days of Christmas. We're looking forward to that because we have a lot of new authors with Delphine that we want to introduce and talk about their work that's coming out and coming up. So be sure to keep on listening in for details on the 12 Days of Christmas. We have 14 authors now, Adelphine.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's 14 authors, and by me and Tamika being full of 14. we have 14. So
you think I would know, huh? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 12.
We have 14.
I was 12, and then with me, it's 13. I miscalculated because I thought it was 11. Oh, well.
No, I thought we had 14. I thought you and I may have. Anywho.
Oh, you know what? It's 14 when I add back on Janika, but, you know, everybody, that's touch and go right now, so we'll see.
But the point of it is, of course, me and Janika, Miss Mariposa is your host, so we're going to put ours in, I guess, the last show. But we're going to get everybody in the 12-day countdown, so we're excited about that. And really quick, we're going to, Tamika, please do the honors. We do have a new release under Delphine. And I know it's not about Delphine. This is AAMBC, but we had a new release today, one of our new artists, so we want to share that. Miss Stacy Covington released a new book today. So, Tamika, tell us a little bit about that before we get move on.
Yes, so Stacy Covington Lee, which is debuting her series, The Knife in My Back series, under Delphine, which is actually a re-release from a series that was originally published, I want to say, in 07 or 08, one of them. I can't really remember. It doesn't really matter because we got the best version. So anyway, so...
Exactly.
so The Knife in My Back, which actually we've been going back and forth with Kindle all day today. Because with it being a re-release, they have to double-check and make sure that we have authorization to publish this book onto these e-readers. So it always makes it difficult. And it's actually been done before because I've republished some other books before. I know, Anne, we did your book, republished one of your books before and
yeah.
all that. So, I've had to go do this point back and forth with Amazon before. So hopefully within the next 12 to 24 hours, if you have it in my bag, up on Kindle and Nook, but it is a lot of drama. It's suspenseful. It's twists and turns, a page turner, and not only that, it's a series. I mean, you know, readers definitely love series. I'm really excited about The Knife in My Back, which is a book that follows behind you and for Split Image. So, like I said, for those who don't know, every month leading up until next summer, we're going to be bringing out books under Delphine. So. I'm quite busy over here, so if you don't hear from me, it's because I'm busy. I got things to do. So let me lean back on Mari for other Delphine news. Let's see.
Okay, this month we have
wait, Mari, before you even get into Delphine news, how was your week? How are you doing?
Horrible, but it'll get better. So.
Oh, no, that's not a good thing. Okay. Well, I didn't even ask that question. Move on to the news.
Yeah, we'll go to the news. But Delphine Arpinger here already talked about The Knife in My Back, and then we have Shawanda Pug, I think. Am I saying it right? Pug?
Pew. That's my daughter's last name, so I know it.
Oh.
Pew.
Shawanda Pugh at Miami Book Fair from the 16th through the 18th. Then Delphine is offering the book club direct program, which I guess you order your books directly from Delphine and you get lots of perks and freebies and lots of awesome things. So
Hold on, I thought about this program. What the book club direct program is, pretty much they get notifications and newsletters and, like, advanced copies of Delphine books before it comes out so that they can decide to have it as a book selection for their book club. So that's something that we're offering directly only for book club. So we're taking it off the web, and we're hitting them right in their mailbox. So that's what the book club direct program is.
Okay. let's see it. I can't really think of anything else for Delphine News. Am I missing anything other than the event and the Knife in My Back?
You want to make sure you guys like our fan page, follow us on Facebook. Our fan page is Delphine Publications with an S. Our Twitter is Delphine Pub. And then our blog. subscribe to the blog. That's DelphinePublications.wordpress.com. And that's pretty much it. So, like, we're definitely staying busy over there with Delphine. Next is going to be Keith Suhart, then Michael F. Lake, then, hold on, yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Is Streaking Delphine the only one that saw his cover?
You say it again?
Is Street Team Delphine the only ones that saw his cover, or did you put that out there for everybody? Because I'm not
it's actually
see it on the page.
For everybody.
Ah, okay. I only saw it on there.
Yeah, so it's actually it's on our fan page, it's on our Facebook page, and it's on the main website on Delphine's site. So we're going to be blogging about it, too, on the company website soon, so on the company blog, all that. So after that, we dropped two male writers under Delphine. And then we're going to be jumping into February, and that's when D and K releases. And who wrote the book D and K? Interesting.
D.
Oh yeah, that's right. You wrote D and K. Okay.
So y'all about to make me nervous.
Look, you know what? Honestly, you know what? Tamika, I'm glad you brought up February to go forward, to let people know what's coming up. I love the month of February. That's the love month. That means being a romance author, I love the love month. Could we do some love things in the love month? So I'm looking forward to February.
It's funny that you said that, too, because we're actually going to be releasing two romance novels. We're going to be releasing Mariposa's book, which is not really, it's not, all of them. I mean, it got hella drama in it. It's kind of like how my books, the storylines in my books and stuff, it's romance, but there's drama in it, too. And so then we're going to be releasing part two about the Crimson Footprints. That's going to be coming out in February, too. So we got, and then we're also working on something with Howard. So hopefully Howard will approve this Delphine book fair at Howard University in D.C. So the sooner I can get that approved, the sooner I can let everybody know and see how many Delphine copies we can get there. So, hey, y'all cross your fingers.
Hey.
All right, so without further, let's go ahead and bring on Miss LaShere Lee for the hot book of the week.
Oh, all right.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, Mama.
All right.
Hi. Now, I know that Halloween was last week and a lot of us had our big fill of candy, but this week I thought I would just carry on tradition of getting some more candy and read Dripping Chocolate. And let me tell you, if you could just see the cover model on this book, Dripping Chocolate, it would make you want a little bit more chocolate. Now, Dripping Chocolate is a book by Keith Thomas Walker, and in a short, I said when I did the review, the theme song for this book should be I'm in Love with a Stripper. The premise of this book is a single mom who falls in love with a male stripper. Now, the stripper name is Charles, but his business name is Dripping Chocolate. And he's fine, but he's come up with a lot of drama. Bad boy, he's been in prison. Two baby mamas, former drug dealer, but he's trying to amend his wrong and do what's right. But as you can imagine, her friends and family aren't too keen about her dating Charles, a.k.a. Chocolate Drippings. But she got a little mess of her own. Her ex-boyfriend and baby daddy's got a crazy ex-boyfriend. I mean, she has a whole lot of drama. One of her sons has a little bit of emotional issues and had a lot of drama in school. So she has her plate filled. But in the midst of all that, these two are trying to find love. So this book deals with them trying to find their own way while navigating through their mess and navigating through he said, she said, and friends all in the business. But I will tell you that this book is a great read. Out of 5 stars, I would give it a 4-star, an easy read, great plot line. It's for mature audience, so it's not a YNA book.
Wait, back up. Mature audience meaning? You got to explain.
I can't hear you.
Mature audience meaning? You have to go back to that mature audience. Is it mature?
Mature audience, I would say 18 and plus. 18 and plus. I wouldn't give it to my 12-year-old niece to read. But 18 and over, dripping chocolate. But I do know that some of our young listeners love to read, and they will read all over the place. But, you know, for a Christmas present, I wouldn't give it to anyone under the age of 18. But it is a good read,
okay.
Well edited. Didn't see any typos, didn't see a lot of grammatical errors. And I've been a fan of Keith Walker for a while, and he does not disappoint. You can find his book at KeithWalkerBooks.com, Amazon, Smashwords, and Nooks. You can also find him on Facebook. And I think he lives somewhere close to where Tamika was living. I think he's originally from Fort Worth, Texas. So, you know, y'all got the little
really?
Texas connection going on.
Well, I'm in Dallas right now, so I'll look him up.
Oh, yes. Oh, you know what? One of my favorite books by him, I'm trying to remember which one. I think the title was How to Kill Your Husband. That was a good book.
Oh,
yeah.
I know of him. You're
you
right.
Know what I'm talking about?
Texas.
How to Kill Your Husband. But this book right here has it going on. You know, when you look at the synopsis and you think you know how the book is going to read, it does have a lot of twists and turns, has a lot of good dialogue, but the book is hot. The book is hot, and looking at the cover just makes you want to go visit somewhere over this weekend. But the book is easy to read. Anyone will enjoy it. I read the book probably I'm a book brat, but I read the book in 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Not bad about it.
Dripping chocolate. Yeah, because, you know, the cover entices you. The cover entices you, and really from the very first three pages, the book captivates your attention because you know it's going to be a lot of drama. You know, he doesn't have a lot of foreplay. He just revs it up right in the beginning of the book.
Oh, he just takes you to it.
Yeah, he takes you to the plot. You get all into the characters. You get a really good feel about what your heroine is going through, Nicole. You know, she's been through some mess and continues to go through mess. And she's trying to find her way, like we everyone is trying to navigate her way into that place called happy.
Wow.
So this is a very good read.
It's funny that you picked him, too, because I can't tell you what he's in or where I've seen him at. Maybe, like, at the National Black Book Festival or something like that, because he does live in Fort Worth. So I've seen him before.
Yeah. And he's kind of under the radar, if you will. He's not someone that a lot of people know about. I'm trying to remember his former label. I don't know, not label, but his former publishing house. I don't know if they're actually in existence. But I think the very first time I read any book was How to Kill Your Husband, which maybe like 2 years ago. And I haven't heard anything from him since then. But he's kind of low-key, kind of under the radar as far as African-American male authors. And I think it's a shame because I enjoy his work. But, you know, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, it's kind of hard to get your footing in and then try to get promoted in this industry, so to speak. They're very good authors.
Well, with that title, are you saying How to Kill Your Husband?
Oh, yeah, How to Kill Your Husband. It really was for a second in that book.
You know what?
It came out a couple of years ago.
But I cannot have that book laying on my coffee table. My husband would be, he would sleep with one eye open. He would be like, what's that in there? What you cooking? He might be watching my every move. You just can't, you can't have no book like that out when you make it.
That's one of the books you have to stash. That's one of the books
exactly.
You have to stash in your stash. So they will be looking for it. Funny.
Tamika, I can just see Chris Masterson. I ain't eating that. I eat a hot dog. I can boil me a hot dog. I'm good.
Right. No way. I owe Chris like a punch in the throat. So, you matter of fact, go ahead and buy right next to his bedside table. Don't even say that. Never act like it's not even like that.
Yeah.
But if you want to get a good dose of chocolate for the week, I will recommend you reading Dripping Chocolate.
Okay.
You will get more than enough of your chocolate count.
My chocolate.
Glad I got my pressure up.
Oh,
Lord. Oh, God. Wow, wonderful book. Yeah, so, yeah, just go ahead and get some chocolate for the week and go ahead and get this book by Keith Thomas Walker. Excellent read, ladies. It is mostly for the ladies. He does write with the females in mind.
Now, LaShare, y'all know you said that he's under the radar, so what made you pick up his book?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It was the cover, Dripping Chocolate. I had seen his cover posted on one of these online book clubs I'm associated with, and I was like, that's the very first thing that drew my attention. And then I saw his name underneath it, and I was trying in my Rolodex in my mind to try to figure out what the books I had read. And then I immediately went back to the book that he had, Trying to Kill My Husband. And I think he also wrote Fixing Tyrone. But I have not heard or seen any of his books in a while, which is really a shame, because he really does write. We know he's not like a urban fiction, so to speak, but he's more of a romance writer with women in mind. And it's kind of hard to find, other than Wayne Jordan and a couple other people, you don't see a lot of men writing romance.
That's true.
So kind of different. He does have a small, following, but he's not like, when you do think of African-American male writers, I'm not going to call out any names and I don't want to offend anybody, but, he's not in that group that people commonly talk about.
Well,
does
anybody know where they can find you, your Twitter, your Facebook, all that?
You can find me on Twitter and read you later. You can find me on Facebook under LaShare Lee. And I hope that everyone has a wonderful week. And I am so excited about your upcoming guest, one of my favorites.
I know. I am a favorite. Let's go ahead and introduce our author for the evening, Ms. Kayla Parent. And I'm hoping that I'm saying her last name correctly. I was into Kayla even before I even got into this industry, even before I knew anything about books and self-publishing and all these book clubs and all these different outlets. Kayla has been writing books for a very, very long time, and she has 45 novels out. Like, that is, like, crazy good.
Woo! That is amazing.
Exactly. When I grow up, I want to be just like her.
I know. I really want to be like, I'm going to be like, 45 books out in my career lifetime. Like, really. And then all of her books are not the same. She has the suspense. She has contemporary. She has the romance. She even writes for Kamani. So without further ado, I'm definitely excited to get on. I just want to pick her brain a little bit. So, Kayla, if you could say hello, welcome on to the show, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Hello?
Hey,
hello.
Hello.
Okay.
Hey.
You can hear me?
Yes, we actually
can. Yes, we can hear you.
All right, good, good. I wasn't sure. I could hear you, and I thought, do they know I'm on the line? I don't know. But anyway, here I am.
We love you.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us. I mean, you are like a legend. Like, we're like, oh, my God, this is our guest. Oh, my God, what are we doing? Oh, my God.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel nice. Especially as I have a book that I'm trying to finish, and I'm like, oh, why can't I get it done? So you have those moments as a writer that are frustrating, and you think you can't do what you got to do, and then you get wonderful comments, so it makes you remember. When you're like, she's got 45 books, and I'm like, yeah, that is a lot. that is a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
Well, Kayla, that's a lot.
How many years altogether has it been that you've been, when your book first published, how many years has it been?
My first book came out, it's 14 years, in 98, early 19, April, March, April 1998.
Now, with that said, Ms. Kayla, we have to always stop on the beginning because you are a veteran. When you're a veteran in the business, we have to know where all started from, where all generated from, because you didn't just wake up and say, okay, I want to write a novel. So before we get into all the good work and all the things you've done, just give us a quick summary of where it all began for you when you decided to say, okay, I want to publish a book. Okay, I'm going to do this. Where did it all begin for you? What motivated you to start even writing?
I've been writing since I could hold a pencil. I started telling stories as a child. You know, I was 5 writing stories and 6 and 7, and I was telling stories all the time, and that was my favorite thing to do, to read, of course, and then to just get a pencil, paper, whatever, and just create my own little stories. And I was 12 when my father showed me an article in the paper that it was announcing a contest for novel writing, and that's when the light bulb went off. It was like, ding, 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 well, people get paid to write books. I wasn't even... You know, as a kid, I was writing. I didn't think about it as a career. But once that happened, or once I learned of that, I realized that in every book, there's the address to the publisher, and maybe I could send them a book, and maybe they would publish it. So that's what I did. By the time I was 13, I learned that at 12, and by the time I was 13, I sent a book off to Scholastic Publications in hopes of having my first children's book published. Yeah. Determined.
What happened with that? Nothing?
No, I got, you know what they did? They sent, I didn't know to include a phone number or anything, but I ended up getting
what?
Back. No, I was 13 years old. I was 13. I wasn't savvy. I just knew, I didn't know an editor's name to put on there. I just sent it to Scholastic. And I guess I'm lucky because they opened it, they read it, and they sent me back the big envelope with my story. But with that, they also sent me guidelines for their children's publishing or children's contest. Sorry, they had an annual children's writing contest, and they sent me the guidelines on how to enter that. But I was like, I don't want to enter the contest. I just want to send them something else. So I sent them 2 more books when I was 14 years old, and this time I got back a smaller envelope, so I knew immediately it was different. The first time I got the big envelope with the manuscript back, the second time I got a small envelope, and they told me they were seriously considering publishing both of my novels, my you know, children's
wow.
books with illustrations. And it was several months later that I got back the big package, and they said, well, they'd considered it, but I had all the illustrations as well, so they said they were going to pass because the illustrations were color and it would be costly and whatever. I guess at the end of the day, what I didn't realize was that they liked it enough to read it and give me feedback, and there were a whole host of other publishers that I never even thought, oh, why don't I try someone else? It just gave me, I guess, a sense of maybe I can do this one day. So I always believed that, and I moved forward with that thought, and I started writing a longer children's mystery, like a middle grade novel, and I tried to get an agent for that, and agents wouldn't take you on if you didn't have anything published, and publishers didn't want to take on children's books if you didn't have an agent. And I thought, well, this doesn't make any sense. How are you supposed to get published if no one will take you on, or no one's going to give you a chance? Ultimately, I went to one of my girlfriend's houses, and I was in college, and she had this whole big stack of books with the little red spines. I'm like, what are you reading? And she was reading Harlequin Romances or The Silhouette Desires, and I had never read one. So I started to read some of those, and I got hooked, and I thought, well, maybe this is something I can try to write. So that's kind of how I started, and, you know, ultimately the world of romance was exploding in terms of African-American stories when I really came in on the scene. So it presented new opportunities for writers like myself. And, you know, that's how it happened for me, and I haven't looked back.
At any time during all of that, did you ever consider self-publishing since you couldn't really get in where you wanted to?
I did. You know, I had checked out different publishers as I got older, and, you know, the certain vanity publishing houses, but the cost to do it was quite a lot, and I was maybe 20. You know, I didn't have that kind of money to put into that, so I put that aside. You know, if it was like today, you know, today it's so much different with being able to put stuff out as ebooks without any major cost up front compared to you'd self-publish, you would get copies of your book, but they would never really be in any stores unless you were hustling and you were able to do that. And I didn't think I
could. Right.
So it was an option that I didn't think would work for me. I couldn't afford it, and I was, you know, too young and not savvy. I didn't know the business. I didn't know people in the business. I didn't know how to make, you know, those connections and make things like that happen.
Wow. So
yeah.
Tell us real quick and briefly, because we know you have a lot of titles under your belt, so we don't have, I guess, the time to even go through all of them, but give us a brief list of your best-selling novels, the ones that's been the greatest for you, and then lead us into what you have out now, your most current novel, and tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, one of my do you remember my book If You Want Me? I don't know if anyone remembers that book. That was a romance with HarperCollins, with the actress who went back home to Chicago when her mother had a heart attack, and she'd been an ugly duckling in high school and became a beautiful swan. If You Want Me, that sold really well for me. And then The Sisters of Theta Phi Kappa, which was my first mainstream, ended up hitting the Essence bestseller list. So that did very well. And more recently, my erotic suspense novel, Obsession, spent 5 months on the Essence bestseller list, and it hit number 2. And then they cut the list out. They don't do that anymore, right? There's no more Essence.
Yeah, they don't do that list.
Yeah, they cut
anymore.
That list off before I had a chance to hit number 1. So I could say I hit up to number 2, and then I think they cut that off like 2 or 3 months after that. Anyway, so Obsession as well did very well. And Single Mama Drama is a series that I still hear from readers about, and it's not my fault, whoever is listening, that the publisher, I did book 1 with a cliffhanger and a continuation, and book 2, the publisher's like, yes, we want another cliffhanger continuation, and then they decided they wanted me to do something different for the 3rd book. So I have had constant emails from people, when's the next book coming? And that is something I am going to be self-publishing. I just have to finish a couple other...
Oh, so you are going to self-publish.
I'm
okay.
Going to now, of course. Yeah, well, now I know I've been in the business, and now right now I know what I'm doing, and now I know the resources, and especially with a book like that, because I got an email from a reader who said, I'm so disappointed with you. I've been a big fan, and I read Single Mama Drama, then I read Single Mama's Got More Drama. Obviously, you don't care about your readers because you just decided to leave us hanging and not put out the 3rd book, and it was not the way it went at all. I fought. I just had an editor who said, suddenly and to my surprise, she wanted me to do something different, and she didn't budge. So at the time as well, when that happened, I was asking a lot of my readers, do you have Kindle or do you have an e-reading device? And I was getting back a lot of no, and I think that's changed. That was 3.5 years ago. And I didn't want to put out a book if it couldn't make it to all the stores and not everyone could get it. I didn't want to put out it as an e-book if most of my readers wouldn't get it. But I think now with everybody, you know, you can have a Kindle on your smartphone. And, you know, I believe now when I do it, people will have access to it. So that was the big thing. And it was not ever my plan. I was as shocked as all of my readers to know there wasn't going to be a book 3 from the publisher. But there will be. I'm putting it out. So I'm working on that. But
So what you saying you're gonna self-publish that? So you having so many books out and such great success? Is it not any conflict for you to be able to do it on your own? Does the publisher say no? We have to reject it first before you can do that.
Well, they did. So that set me free.
Oh wow!
They rejected
it.
So yeah, they rejected it at a time. You know, they rejected it before the ebook craze started to happen, probably 2 years before. And that's why, you know, it was just coming in, and I had a friend saying, why don't you publish an ebook. And I'm like, wow, it's so new, and I don't know, and my readers don't have e-reading devices, and I don't want to put out books if my readers can't get it. But everything has changed. So I kind of wish I had written the book at the time. I did not. You know, I tried to see if I could get a different publisher, but publishers are somewhat hesitant to pick up a different series, you know, that it's been started at a different house. And so I just put it aside and was working on other stuff. But,
the fact,
you know,
that you have all these books out, I'm just surprised that you can still get a project rejected. I would think that your publisher would just put anything in the book. Wouldn't y'all think the same thing, though, y'all?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, they were like,
well,
oh,
I don't want to get too... You know what happens sometimes? You have certain people you work with whom you love and others that you don't. And I think it was just a kind of clash with that particular person. That's what I think it was. Because my other editor left and she came along, and I don't think she was as excited about what I was doing.
Right.
It wasn't her baby,
right.
You know? So I think she wanted me to do something different, and it just became.
It can only be you.
It became
it
a head, and then
only
I didn't. And then I didn't want to change things so much. Like if I changed or altered that it wasn't going to be true to the first
yours.
Two books because people have loved. So
exactly.
I'm like, no, I'm just going to leave it alone, and the time will come, and it will get out there. So now that's what I'm going to do. I just have to get my time in to finish the book, but you know, I'm already started
Taylor,
working
your
on
voice
it.
Your voice is your voice. And I,
that's right.
You know who your characters are. You're familiar with them more than anybody. They come to you. Your characters talk to you. So to speak in a different language or to speak something different from what your characters are saying to you would just not be right. You just can't do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
If you don't understand when you're writing a book, your characters are talking to you. They're telling you from their point of view what they think. You're like, hey, something wrong with you. So these characters talk to you, literally. It's true.
And there was also, I felt that she just also didn't quite get the world. You know, she's, I don't know, of the African-American reader experience, baby mama drama, you know, baby daddy, all that. I felt she just didn't get it. She was removed from that world. And I said, I know what my readers like. I know what they tell me. I know how they react to the story. So the stuff I'm telling you I want to continue with is the feedback I've gotten, and I don't know. She just wasn't down with it, so I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to change it this way. I'm not going to, because then I wouldn't have happy readers. They'd be like, well, what? This isn't what we wanted. This is not what Vanessa Kane was going to do. That doesn't make no sense. So, you know, I'm happy, actually, at the idea that I can have the control over it. It's going to come out just the way I want it, you know?
Yes.
Nobody to tell me, don't do this, don't do that. So I'm excited about that. But right now as well, I have a Christmas anthology that's just come out. It's called A Merry Sexy Christmas, and this is with Arabesque. And Beverly Jenkins is in this as well, and Maureen Smith. So it's the three of us, and we have... three. They're not connecting stories within the anthologies, but they're all Christmas-themed stories. So that's what I have right now. And of course, earlier this year, I had my Hearts in Love series with Kamani Romance, with the three sisters who were given up for adoption, so to speak. With their mother leaves them with their aunt and says she'll be back soon.
I see the same thing.
And she doesn't come back. And it's 23 years later. And these three sisters who have dealt with issues of abandonment by the mother and the father's not being in the picture, you know, they've had issues among themselves as a result, you know. And they've grown apart over the years. But the death of their aunt brings them back to Cleveland to face, you know, to come to the funeral. And then they have to face each other and they start to repair and heal their relationships with each other. There's a second chance at love for one who left town without telling her boyfriend that she was pregnant. And throughout the three books, you've got the thread of what happened to the mother, ending with the third book, where it's a little suspenseful in terms of the twist of what really happened to the mom. And I like it. That came out May, June, July. So that's a three-book back-to-back trilogy. Yeah.
Wow. You seem to have so much going on for you, and you're so successful. How do you manage to stay grounded with all these great things working out for you?
Well, you know, I just, I'm me, you know. I'm a single mom, so everything that I do, I just try to be happy and grateful for what I have. I'm glad that I have a career that has allowed me to be more with my daughter or take her places. She gets to travel with me a lot. My mother comes with me to a lot of places. I don't do anything crazy. I don't think, you know, I don't act as though I'm better than anybody else. I'm just grateful. You have to be grateful for what you have, and I'm always happy to at least help other aspiring writers or give them time, give them ideas, and in terms of how to get published, because that mattered to me when I was starting and talking to some very successful authors who, you know, when I saw them, my jaw dropped and was shocked that they would give me any time of day. And they were gracious and sweet. And I think it's important to help people continue to believe in their dreams. I don't know. That's just who I am. So.
Okay, tell us, like, the book that's about to come out next, the very next one, and then what you're working on now.
Well, this one, I mean, really the next one, I think that has just come out, is the anthology, Merry Sexy Christmas. And what comes after that? Goodness, what is it? It's either, okay, I'll tell you the book I just finished. I just finished a book, and it was supposed to come out in March, but it's pushed back to the summer because this has been a tough year for me. My father died a year ago. So this was a tough year with trying to keep on top of deadlines and be there for my mom and my own grieving. So some stuff had to get rescheduled. But Playing with Fire is a kind of love triangle. Oh, how would I describe it? My heroine's name is Zienna. Zienna Thomas has had this guy who she was crazy about. Like 4 years ago, they dated, and then he told her he just didn't want to commit. He leaves. She's devastated. But she's moved on. She's a kinesiologist, and she's finally dating someone else again. And who comes back into town but the ex? And he's this new boyfriend's, one of his best friends from before. So there's this, he starts to pursue her again, and the question is it kind of a game for him? Is he trying to just seduce her because she's dating his friend? It kind of becomes this big love triangle complex. I can't totally describe it, with a suspenseful twist because someone has ulterior motives. Someone's up to no good. So, you know, I always like to put a little bit of a suspense or thriller or aspect if I can. So that's what's going to be coming out. I think it's next summer. And I also have another romance. I probably have two romances next year. Until You is a character who was in the Hearts in Love series. She's going to have her story, and then I'm going to be starting a series about firefighters in San Diego. So like four male firefighters, and that's going to be another romance series with Kamani. And I'm finishing up my next suspense book for St. Martin's Press, which I'm not sure what I'm going to call it. Yeah, did you read Winter Break? I mean, did you read Spring Break? I had Spring Break with the, like the Natalie Holloway story with the three girls who head off to the Caribbean for a spring break vacation and only two come home. Then I had Winter Break.
Hold on. That's
someone goes
I read that.
Okay. And so I'm working on the third suspense, but I think I have a chunk of it done, and I want to change it because I just think it needs to be sort of a different story. I don't know how to explain it, but I don't really want it to be connected to Spring Break, Winter Break. I want it to be something different, but that's in the works. So always, I've got a suspense in the works. I've got my sort of romantic mainstream love triangle one coming out next year, and I've got some romance, and I have another summer wedding anthology that will be coming out next summer, too. So I'm keeping busy.
So, you are really, really busy.
So,
yeah. And with all the new and up-and-coming releases that you got, especially with the Christmas type release, do you have any tour dates coming up? Do you want to tell our listeners where you're going to be and what's coming up in the near future for you, appearances you're going to be making?
Well, not in the near future that I know of. I might be heading to New Orleans in December, which I have to figure out quickly if I'm going to be doing that for the Writers for New Orleans conference. I know that where am I going to be? Kansas City for the Romantic Times. There's also the, I just lost the name of the, anyway, let me think about that. Anyway, why can't I think? Okay, I'm going to not dwell on it. But April, for sure, Kansas City. And next summer, Atlanta. I'm going to be in Atlanta. But those are not, you know, immediate dates. It would be if I decide to go to New Orleans, and I'm just not sure because I have to finish work. You know, every time you head off to do different things, it takes time from working. So I think I've got to just finish up what I'm working on, and I really want to get my single mama still got drama. I want to get that finished. So I think I'm kind of holding back on doing some things until I feel I've gotten everything under control that I want to, you know, have released. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
But I love going away. I love heading to do events and stuff, and I love Atlanta. It's a great city. You know, I love to get there for sure. I'll be there definitely next summer. Other than that, no, people have to check my website to see when I have something upcoming, but it might not be until the new year.
With all of this going on, can you give us an estimate of how many books it will be come the end of 2013? How many books you will have published by then?
I think I might have 5 books out next year, so I'm going to be at about 50. I think I'm going to hit 50 next year.
Wow.
And if not, I have to do something to celebrate. You know, I said when book 40 came out, I said, okay, I got to do a big party. I got to do something, and nothing happened. And that's because I am horrible at planning things. I'm like, I think about it a week before and go, oh, I should have done that. So I need to work with someone who can help me plan. I want to do something big for 50. That's a good number.
I'm sitting here like, I don't know if you remember the old episode of Martin when they saw that big TV. They was like, "Hachi Tachi." I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm about to hurt."
Really?
I am just like, "Oh my God, that's where I want to be someday."
I don't get much. I don't get much sleep though, but what can you do? Some of my friends are mad, like, "You don't hang out enough." But I always try to make time to do something, which is why I can't just do the writing and nothing else. So I do the writing around trying to have a life, but I can't hang out every night. I can't talk to my girlfriends for 3 hours on the phone every night. It just can't happen, or I won't get my writing done, you know?
Right.
So.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Well, Kayla,
it has been so amazing talking to you.
Kayla, I was looking on your website for, like, your
events.
Things like that, so, but it's not actually on there. So let everybody know where they can find where you'll be at, like what your website is.
Yeah,
your
I have to update that. Okay, so you can find me, of course, my website, www.kaylaperrin.com. I'm on Facebook, and I have 2 Facebook pages now because my first one, which is under Kayla Perrin, I'm at my maximum friends as deemed by Facebook. So I have a second Facebook page I started called Author Kayla Perrin. I'm on Twitter under Kayla Perrin. And I looked on my MySpace page today for the first time in, like, I don't know, 8 months.
Wow.
Y'all on MySpace?
Yeah.
I just, like, you know, it's still there, but I never check it. So I thought, oh, I probably should. So I still have a MySpace page. There's a few other things out there that I'm not on yet. I think there's a couple other social networking sites. But that's the main – you'll find me on Facebook daily. I mean, I try to keep up with Twitter, but I don't always tweet daily. But I talk to everyone on Facebook daily. So that's a good place to find me. But author Kayla Perrin. I also have a fan page, Kayla Perrin, on Facebook. And I was shocked that when I looked up Kayla Perrin, there were other Kayla Perrins, not me. I thought I was the only one, but I guess I was wrong. So
no,
there's a few other
not.
Ones, but I'm not hard to find. There's not like 100 Kayla Perrins or 1,000, so you'll find me.
Right. Well, Kayla, we definitely want to thank you for coming on to the show and exposing yourself to us. I am just in awe of your success, and I hope to be where you are, you know, at least halfway there, you know, by the time, you know, I hit like my 14th year. So definitely kudos to you. Keep
thank
writing.
You.
Just stay consistent, stay humble, stay down to earth, and thank you so much for exposing yourself to us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you, Kayla. Have a great night, and go and watch the election. I know you can't.
I will, yeah. Now I want to, yeah, exactly. This is the time to tune in. Okay, great.
So, yeah, so it's all over the social media site, so definitely go in and join the fun, and we will definitely chat with you soon.
Okay, well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
All right. Take care, then.
Again, everyone, we would just find Ms. Kayla Perrin. If you want to find out more about her, please go to KaylaPerrin.com. If you're curious about any of her books she's ever written, go to Amazon.com and just type in her name, Kayla Perrin. You will see an abundance of books. Even if you bought a book and you read one a week, you will have something like for the whole year, I want to say. Like, yeah, so if you have plenty of Kayla Perrin material to read, so definitely go out and support her. And again, as she stated, find her on Facebook at Kayla Perrin and on Twitter at Kayla Perrin, all that jazz. Again, thank you so much, Kayla, for coming on and exposing yourself to us. I really enjoyed talking to her. Like, she is that motivating, y'all. I'm really motivated just by the
really, she
that.
Is. Really.
Like,
hey, you are, really. And I thought I was doing good with 6 books out. Damn, she got almost 50 books out.
Right, like, I'm so happy, jealous. Like, I really, it's motivation for me. Like, I'm hoping that by the time, I'll be 30 in 3 years. So hopefully, I'll be tapping in maybe like 11 books by then, maybe 11 or 12. No one near 50. So
really? No one near 50.
But guys, before we do this tonight, I do want to touch on the election. Everybody knows today is election day, so everyone on Facebook and Twitter, keep everybody up to date on the polls right now. The live coverage is on the news and, you know, all the national news channels, which I'm about to tune in now. So we are really crossing our fingers and hoping and praying, because now it's really too late. If you're not at the polls right now, it is too late. Like, the majority of the polls are closed. The polls here in like 2 minutes. So I'm hoping that, you know, that Obama takes it. Like, he's getting some faith. Like, he's getting a lot of faith, but it's still pretty tight. So what you guys think about?
You know what, Tamika? I got a comment on that. I'm not a big politician. I'm not big on politics. But I think that Mitt, and this is just my honest opinion, you guys. Don't hate me. All you Republicans out there that's going for Mitt Romney, don't hate me. This is just my opinion. I just think Mitt kind of just threw some gut punches. I don't think Mitt actually did his campaign on facts. I think he did a lot of things to try to make Obama look bad. Because, you know, it's like he forgot the state of the country when Obama took leadership. Obama took leadership when the country was in a really, 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 really bad situation. He's not giving him any credit for the things that he's done. You can't, it's like you can't solve a big mess overnight. So in 4 years, Obama has done what he can, and what he can't, and he's still working on it. So I think Mitt had a campaign on gut punches versus true facts of what he can do. He can never answer those harder questions of what he can do to change things. He was just so busy pointing a finger about what Obama didn't do. And that's what I thought was really horrible with his campaign.
I agree. I totally agree. And there's a lot of things Mitt wasn't giving concrete answers on what he planned to do. It's like he has no plan.
Exactly.
He's like, oh, I'm going to do something, but you're not telling us what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know, like, who does that?
You know, also what I found out, that one of his sons, or I don't know how many he has, owns, like, a huge stock in Ohio, owns a huge stock in a company based in Ohio that makes the voting machines. I thought that mess was funny. Like, really? Like, mm-hmm. if that's not a conflict of interest, I don't know what is.
So yeah, I think, like I say, I think Mitt's campaign was based on all the things that Obama has not accomplished yet versus the things that Obama can accomplish. That was his defense. He was, like, saying, well, Obama hadn't gotten to yet. It's only been 4 years, Mitt. Obama picked up a big mess. Bush, yeah, and we know this is a double radio, so I can say Bush fucked things up. So Obama came in like a really, really bad situation, and he's done a lot to get it better. It's not cured, of course, because you can't put a Band-Aid on the crises that the country was in when Obama took over. But 4 years was just one enough. So that's what Mitt kind of kept poking holes in about what has not been accomplished yet. But he didn't give us any concrete evidence of what he can really do. All his damn answer was scared. And so, in that way, I'm just shaking my head. That's what I'm saying.
Right. I mean, we've seen it happen. We've seen Bush mess up the economy and do some dumb stuff within his first term and then turn back around and the nation put him right back in office. Like, who does that, you idiot?
That was so stupid.
I mean,
the majority of the nation is Republican. That's why they put him back in office to jack us up some more. That's what happened.
Like, I'm praying that God answers our prayers and gives us what we need. And I really don't believe anyone is not genuine and can't answer and give us a clear vision on what you plan to do with this country does not deserve to be in office. So, I'm going to be watching.
Exactly.
They said it should be a projected winner announced at midnight, but we may not know for sure for a couple of days. So definitely you guys there that the enemy is not working on individuals at these polls and that they're not being conniving, that they're not being sneaking, they're not lying and cheating and messing up these polls. So anyone that's half safe, if I come in agreement, let's just, hope and pray that we know we get what we need. So,
yeah.
So y'all go turn on your TVs, get on your social media sites, join everybody in on the chatter, and we will see how this all ends. I guess by morning time, we will see today's Judgment Day. So everyone, be blessed. Have yourself a good night. We will see you all here on next Tuesday for open
night.
Night. We're excited about.
Good
and
night.
By the time, we know who our president will be. Y'all have a good
all
night.
Good night.
Night.
Bad boys ain't no good. Good boys ain't no fun. Lord knows that I should run off with the right one. My